Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to the beginning of season number 6, podcast episode 56, Deal or No Deal. And it's January 24th, and we're setting off fireworks. And we're so happy we lasted this long. 56 fun-filled podcast just for you. Oh, boy. Can't forget our digital audience. They're back for our sixth season, and here they are. Craps Talk is big today because we'll be starting to talk about playing from the don't pass. It's a big step for so many people who play craps. You just love that pass line. But we're going to talk about our favorite way to play from the don't pass, and I play there quite a bit, and I think it may appeal to you. I told you the same thing about our pass line play for low rollers, our 3-2-1 craps. Well, Color Up has just surpassed 56,000 plays of our 3-2-1 craps system, a system for pass line players who are low rollers, a system for low rollers playing the pass line in just 4 months. And I'm telling you something honestly, this might even be a better way to play craps for low rollers. So don't miss it. It's playing the Don't Pass 6-8 Deal or No Deal, which is also the name of our episode today. But before we get to craps talk, I want to mention some things that have been sort of updates. The Rivers Casino, the sportsbook there, it's booming. And the smallest amount of bet money, the smallest amount of money you can bet on a sports contest in Pittsburgh is $5. And now, I told you my first experience there when I placed that bet on Clemson that paid off big time. But anyway, the seats now expanding to 98 with chairs and tables combined. They're saying that it fills up quickly, but it seems to me like they're just constantly thinking about improving that space in the casino because it's just so attractive to people, and it's new to Pittsburgh, and it's exciting for so many. On another subject, you know, we've talked in the past about taking young children to Las Vegas, and we don't have a problem with that if you make the trip about them. You know, you might get some time, but it's mostly about them. That's why you would take them. But for a listener who asked, I checked in with my daughter who lives in Las Vegas and got this information. And her first best advice is, if you're staying on a strip, check with your concierge at the hotel. Many of the strip hotels contract out for this service.
Of a babysitting service that services many of the hotels. But in reading the rules, and my daughter warned me about this, some services in Las Vegas, if you have children under the age of 12, you have to have a vaccination history, or they can't. Maybe it's state law, I don't know. But that's something that most of us wouldn't have thought of. So if you're planning on using a babysitting service and you're staying at a strip hotel, be sure you talk to the concierge, make a phone call, and find out what is necessary in terms of getting approval from the sitting service license, of course, to watch your children for a little while. Okay? That's important. All right. Let's go on and take a short break, and we'll come back with Playing the Don't Pass 6-8 Deal or No Deal. When I first made my move to play the dome pass, sometimes at a cold table, I thought, well, you know, it's kind of boring because it's just like if you play the pass line and you just put odds behind it and you don't make any play spats or do anything else, you know, sometimes you just stand there for a few minutes. Sometimes the minutes add up and people are rolling and rolling. You're just waiting for the point number. Well, the same is true if you just play the dome pass because, you know, people could go 25 rolls, not make the point. You know, all this money's being earned, you're not making it. And you just have, you know, $5, say, on the dome pass line. So I couldn't really stand to do it that way at small amounts, like $5. So I kind of worked my way into this deal or no deal from the dome pass, the 6-8 deal or no deal. And first step, we're going to start with a $5 table. That means the minimum bet on the pass line or the don't pass line is $5. Step one, put $5 on the pass line and put $5 on the Dome Pass line. We're talking about the Come Out Roll. Before the Come Out Roll, it's a new game. The puck has been moved to the side of the numbers. It's black, and we're ready for a new roll. You put $5 on the pass line and $5 on the Dome Pass. On that Come Out Roll, the only thing that can beat you is a 12. If a 12 is rolled, you know, it's a push on the Dome Pass, but you would lose the pass line. So that's not much to fear. 5 on the pass line, 5 on the Dome Pass. All right, second step. The number that's established on the Come Out Roll is either a 4, a 5, or a 9, or a 10. So the point that's made, the point that's rolled and established is a 4, 5, a 9, or a 10. Step 2, if that's what happens, you put $30 odds on the Dome Pass bet. And you literally, if you don't know how to do that, just set it out there and the dealer would set it up for you. But the big money goes beside the $5, and the quarter goes beside the $5, and then the additional $5 goes on the quarter and off the quarter, you know, just part on the quarter and part off the quarter. And a lot of dealers like to do it their way, so they might even adjust it for you. But the point is, if the established point on that come out roll is a 4, a 5, a 9, or a 10, you put $30 odds on the Dome Pass. Now, at this point, all you can lose is $30. Well, you're thinking, well, if the point is made, I'll lose the Dome Pass line too. But you'll also win the $5 on the pass line. So you have $30 at risk right now. Okay. Step 3. Since the established point was not a 6 or 8, it was a 4, a 5, a 9, or a 10, you placed a 6 and 8 for $6 each at a $5 table. All right? And the fun begins. Let's talk about Dome Pass odds, you know, of $30. If the point is a 4 or a 10 and a 7 is rolled, you would win $15. Now, you have a place bet on both the 6 and 8. That bet you would lose. And that's $12, but you would still win $3. Okay? And we're pretty excited about this one because we're hoping that a 6 or an 8 hits. And how many hits do you want? All right? Do you want one hit before you say off? Do you want two hits before you say off? Do you want three hits? Or are you not going to take it off? That's all up to you. That's all part of this, your own individual thinking with Deal or No Deal. Sometimes I leave them up. Sometimes I take them down. After one, I should say take them off. Just say to the dealer, I'm off on a 6 and 8. Or do I go two hits? That's $14 I won. Now remember, the risk I have on the Dome Pass odds is $30. That's all I would lose if a point is made. Okay, so I could hit a couple 6 and 8s. And let's say I win $14 there. And the shooter 7's out. They didn't make their point of 4 or 10. I won $15, so I could easily win $29 this way. I keep the 6 and 8 up until I get two hits. Then I go off, and in a few rolls, the shooter 7's out. You know, they throw an 11, they throw a 2, anything but the point number. But the thing is, they 7 out. And the big question really is, how many hits are you going to keep it up? Keep it up 1, 2, 3, 4, or until somebody 7's out? That's completely up to you. So let's just say for now, we're going to go two hits and take them off. And then they 7 out. Now I won $29. Okay, I'm happy. If the point is a 5 or a 9, it's the same deal. You place the 6 or 8 for $6 each. That's $12. But a $30 Dome Pass odds bet on a 5 or 9 is 2 for 3. So you would win $20 on that $30 bet. So let's say, again, you had two hits. You won $14 on those place bets, and then you went off. And then you got lucky because the shooter 7'd out before they made their point of a 5 or a 9, and you win $20. So there you go. You got a $34 win right there. big question is coming up. Oh, boy. You are all set to go on the come-out roll. The point went to a 6 or it went to an 8. And this is deal or no deal. What do you do? Well, you could still put that $30 odds bet on the don't pass. If a 7 was rolled, you'd win $25. Do you want to put money, if the point was an 8, do you want to place money on the 6 or vice versa? If the point is a 6, do you want to place money on an 8? Or deal or no deal, do you want to put money behind the pass line because you always play the 6 and 8? Think about that. Do you want to put 5 odds, 10 odds, 15 odds, 20 odds behind the pass line? Because you have $5 on the pass line, remember. And then you can pick up your don't pass odds. And if you want to, you can pick up your don't pass line bet. Never forget that. You can pick up a don't pass line bet. Well, people say the casino wants you to do that. Why? Well, because once the point's established, the don't pass line has a slight edge because there's more ways to roll a 7 than there is to roll any of the point numbers. That's not hard to understand. Doesn't mean that a 7 is going to be rolled. We've all had a number of rolls where we've made our points, whatever they were. But mathematically, you have a slight edge. And so there's a deal or no deal. You decide. Do you continue with playing the don't pass and then putting the $30 on it and just placing the one number, if not the 6, then the 8? Or do you just go back to the pass line, take your odds bet off, take your don't pass line bet off? That's deal or no deal. And there's just so many things good about this system. It seems to me that the tables more often are this way. They go back and forth. Sometimes shooters don't make their points, but they roll a number of times before they seven out. You know, you're at a table and you have the don't pass line bet with $30 odds, but you don't place anything. And the guy gets 4 sixes and 3 eights before he sevens out. That's money that you would be making if you had placed it and stayed with it. If the table's been chilly, you know, you might go off after one hit on a 6 or 8. The other thing I've felt about this over the years is when I'm being evaluated for comps, they look over at the table and they see a $30 odds bet. I don't think they see much more than that. They might see that I got another $12 on the 6 and 8, you know, $6 each. The next thing to think about with the don't pass 6 or 8 deal or no deal system is this. If you go to a $10 table or a $15 table, you don't really have to change much. You know, especially at a $10 table, you know, $10 table, you put $10 on the pass line, $10 on the don't pass. There you go. You're good. A point's established. It's a 4 or a 10. You put 30 odds on the don't pass. Okay. And you now put $24 out there on the 6 and 8, 12 and 12. Okay. Well, if somebody rolls their point and the point was a 4 or 10, you might lose a little bit of money, but you wouldn't lose as much if you had 1 or 2 hits on a 6 or 8, right? And let's talk about that. So now you're getting $14 a hit. So after 2 hits, you got $28. And then the shooter goes and sevens out. You already won $28. You're off now on a 6 or 8. The point's a 4 or a 10, okay? Your $10 bet on the pass line is going to be canceled out by the don't pass line. So all we're playing for right there is the $15 you'd win from the 1 for 2 don't pass line odds bet on the 4 or 10. 28 plus 15 is your answer. So again, you know, you're making real money. You're making real money. I think the other thing, unless you just face an extremely hot table, and if that happens, you know, again, you have a choice. And I've talked about this in the past, little Jimmy the Greek advice. If you're in a don't pass line and the shooter gets hot and they make 3 points, then think about this. Either stop betting until that shooter's done or go to the pass line. Join the parade. Jump on a streak. And that's why I told you, you know, you don't have a complete bag of tricks and craps if you only play the pass line, because there are times that I've gone to you know, the don't pass line, six or eight deal or no deal. And the table got so cold, that I didn't even make the six and eight bet. I just played the don't pass with the odds because people were going two or three rolls and seven out. Bang. So I was either getting $15 or $20 or $25 on that don't pass odds bet. And you're making a $30 odds bet, so at a $10 table or even at a $15 table, nobody's going to say to you that your odds bet isn't big enough. So play around with it. I hope my friend Jeremy Alaric picks this one up. And again, I call it the don't pass six or eight, deal or no deal, because you have a decision to make. And the decision to make is when the point is a six or an eight, do you then jump to the pass line and pick up your don't pass line and the don't pass odds bet? Or do you just keep playing the same way? You know, that's a big decision. So it kind of keeps you into the game, keeps you interested, keeps you focused, and it's a lot of fun. And in all honesty, if I go to a cold table, man, I'm going to go to this kind of play before I start putting money in the pass line. And after my experience just a few months ago at the Bellagio playing for playing smart craps and putting $150 at risk, you know, pumping up $25 on the line and 100 or 150 behind it and getting smoked, I said, no way, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going to start playing smart craps and taking as much odds bets as I can afford until the table turns radioactive. Then I'll do it, you know, and say I'm up $900. I might do it. But, man, you don't experience those kinds of tables too often. And I got smacked so well playing smart craps, the best way to play craps, they say. Epic fail. If I'd been playing the don't pass six or eight, deal or no deal, I would have won more money than the money I lost, I'm telling you. So I hope you give this a try. And for goodness sakes, you have to learn how to play the don't pass. If you don't know how to play the don't pass and don't understand and appreciate don't pass odds, it's like playing the piano with one hand. Again, you're not a pianist, obviously, unless you can play the piano with two hands. If you can only play with one hand, you're like a pass line player. That's all they ever do. You know, and so you go to a casino and you play the pass line and you lose. That's just how it is. And so, you know, my point is, instead of just accepting that losing, saying, well, the table was cold tonight, why not try a different strategy? Why not try a different way of looking at things? Yet I always want to say this to you. We tell you how we bet. You bet the way you want to. There's no guarantees betting your way or betting our way. But we tell you how we bet, and you take it or leave it from there. Okay, that's something we can agree on. Before we leave Craps Talk for today, we did have a phone call from a listener from Utah, and he asked a question that has nothing to do with the don't pass line or the pass line. It's about parlaying hard ways. And so let's listen to what this gentleman has to say.
Hello, my name is Joe. I'm from Utah. I'm a new listener. My question today is hard ways. My uncle told me once of the $1,000 from $1 parlay on the 6 and 8. I can't quite bring myself to second parlay the win on a 6 or 8. How do you play the hard ways when you do? And what's the craziest you've seen? One time I saw, probably 15, 20 years ago, a hard 10 three times back to back to back. Great. Thank you very much.
Joe, thanks for the call. You know, I first want to say that I think your uncle might have been talking about a 30-1 bet, like snake eyes or boxcars. Here's what I mean. This is not that unbelievable. It's happened to us, I think, 4 or 5 times. I can never get that right in my memory. But you have a dollar on a 12 or a dollar on snake eyes, and it goes, and you win $30. You just leave it there. It's a parlay bet. Well, the second time it hits, you win $900. And if it came up three times, it would be 30 times $900. Not bad, huh? So by talking about parlaying a dollar hard 10 three times or a dollar hard 6 or a dollar hard 8 three times, you wouldn't get to $1,000. Let's do the math. But how many times have I seen it? Oh, I've seen it. Yes, I have. But here's the other thing. When you start putting bigger money on the hard numbers, we believe you should hedge that by putting money on the place bet that's not a hard number so you don't lose it. For example, if you would have $100 on a hard six, then we think you should have a large bet on the ordinary six. So if a regular six is rolled, you would cover that. I often do that with hard tens where I put, you know, in a $5 table, put $9 on a hard 10 and $5 on the 10. So if a regular 10 comes up, an easy 10 comes up, you know, a 6-4 10 comes up, then, or a 4-6 10, I'm going to win $9. And so I just say, put it back on the hard ways. That's something to think about. But let's do the math on a dollar parlay on hard numbers and see where they go with three hits. So a hard six or a hard eight pays 9-1. Now, Joe and everybody else, be careful because there's a lot of new felts out and they'll say 10-1. But 10-1 means they're going to give you 9 because they're going to keep the one. You know, it's always some kind of con going on, isn't there? So the point is a hard number, six or eight, pays 9-1. If it says 10-1, you're still going to get $9 on a dollar bet. So that's the point. Okay, so obviously you get $9 and you leave it there and you say parlay the bet. So if it comes up back to back, or it doesn't have to come up back to back, but it has to come up before a seven out the second time, or before the regular six or the regular, the easy six or the easy eight are rolled, because if a easy six or an easy eight is rolled, you lose the hard way bet. But say that's what happens. It comes up shortly after you parlay it, in a few rolls it comes up, and you now have $81. So you have $81. And this is where I would say, I think you're better served if you took $36 off the hard way bet and put it on a regular bet. So if you have $81 on the hard six or $81 on the hard eight, take $36 of it off and put it on a regular bet. Then you got some backup, and you won't lose your, you know, your money. You'll get it back again. That's how I would think about it. Three times, 9 times 81 would be $729. So it's close to what you said. And let's face it, in thousands and thousands and thousands of crap games, it's probably come up where you go $729 times 9. But I think there's more of a chance of doing something like that, chasing the craps numbers three or four times, you know, the three-way craps numbers, than a particular number. But it's a lot of fun, and I have no problem with $9 parlaying that first one. I do have problems with the second one because I wouldn't put all $81 on the hard number. If I'm in that kind of a mood, and I get in those kind of moods, you know, to take higher risk, I would still, of that $81, I'd put $36 on the corresponding easy number and leave the rest of it on, hoping for that third time. That's how we do it. That's an interesting question. But, you know, craps is the kind of game where with just a dollar, you can win $729 or you can win $900 if it's snake eyes or boxcars on 30-1. So that was a good call, Joe. Thank you. Please give us a call back if you do hit that thing. We want to know about it, and we'll put it right up front on our show. Thanks again. You know, and as we close out Craps Talk, you know, that's one thing I want to talk about a little bit, playing the hard numbers. You know, we have a lot of people that say you should never play hard numbers, you know. It's a sucker bet. You know what? I've seen big money won on these sucker bets. I don't get crazy with it. Don't get crazy with it. But I have no problem playing hard ways. Come on, guys. Don't take the fun out of the game. And sometimes those parlay bets, back to back to back, they happen, you know, so just enjoy it. Don't get upset with us. Those people who take their risks, that, you know, we're not making sucker bets. We're making fun bets. They're fun. That's why we do it. Let's also mention that many casinos in 40 states, you know, it's, you can't make one broad statement because it could be different in any state. You know, some state laws, you can't make any bet bigger than $500 in a craps game. You know, and there might be a table limit of $1,000. if it's not printed on the felt and you made a bet that was too big, they would come out and tell you whether they're going to cover it. Now, they could waive it. The casino manager, if it wasn't against state law, they could waive it. But sometimes they don't want to cover those big bets. I mean, they don't want someone coming and throwing $1,000 on the field necessarily and then leaving it there again. So I'm just saying, every casino looks at it a little differently. So there, sometimes it's table limits. I never had that problem of approaching a table limit. Okay. I did win $900, like I said, several times on that chasing the 12, chasing the snake eyes. But I didn't ask if they'd cover the $900 because I wasn't going to bet the $900 that I had. Maybe they would have covered it, but I didn't bet it. So that's one other thing to remember. In our final segment of the podcast today, we're going to take a look at TravelZoo.com. That online website does a good job, sort of like photojournalism. They take photos of things in Las Vegas or other places, and they write a short description and give you a point of view about the particular place. And recently, Janie came across one, and it had more than 30 different things that one should remember or know about Las Vegas, and she's going to pull out some things that she agrees with and a couple that she doesn't. So the article was written by Andrew Young, and it was on TravelZoo.com. We think it's a good site, but sometimes we don't agree with everything that they say. They do the same things that we do with Travel Tips, except they're doing it with the printed word and photographs, and we're doing it just with what we say on the podcast. Maybe we get to the same end in the end. All right. So, okay, Janie will be right here shortly, and she'll be talking about Andrew Young's article on the TravelZoo.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. As Fab told you, I'm going to talk a little bit about Andrew Young from TravelZoo, his points to take into consideration when you make or planning a trip to Las Vegas. Number one, he says, you know, when you go, it makes a big difference on how much you spend. Since there are at least 150,000 hotel rooms in Las Vegas, it's a huge convention destination. And some of the largest conventions can take over a massive amount of rooms. So you want to check the calendar before you plan a trip, because everything gets to be busier when there's a convention in town, be it the restaurants, be it the shows. I've heard of shows, and Andrew has pointed out he's heard of shows that they sell out the week the convention's there. So check those dates. Also, you want to check for such dates as New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day or week, because the rates go up then. Sometimes they quadruple. So you want to check that out. The midweek stays that, you know, during all the weekdays are usually more affordable and cost a lot less than the weekends do. Andrew says if you are planning a weekend trip, there's a few ways to maximize your time and budget. You want to take the first flight in on a Saturday morning and fly back out on Monday. I mean, that way you would be staying Sunday night, and your Sunday night hotel bill will be a lot less than a Friday night stay. And your flight's probably going to be less expensive, too, as the Friday to Sunday combo is the pairing most airlines charge the most for. He pointed out also another way you save is to stay at a non-gaming hotel, places like Vidara and the Platinum Las Vegas. These are less expensive than the nearby hotels, and especially on the weekends. Also pointed out you should know your holiday weekends, especially the ones that Americans celebrate at different times of the year, especially from Canadians. Popular three-day weekends like Memorial Day or 4th of July, Labor Day, aren't usually a good time for deals. But weekend rates can be more affordable around American holidays like Thanksgiving, especially the 4 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas in particular are a fantastic time to find hotel deals. So you might want to take advantage of that time. You also might want to look at packages that bundle flights and a hotel stay to save on the travel cost. Often the total all-in-one package price will be a few bucks more than just the airfare alone. Okay, another question that Andrew poses is to rent a car or not rent a car. Well, I agree with him on this. It really depends on your plans. If you just want to stay on the Strip and don't have any intentions of leaving it or going anywhere else, then you shouldn't. In fact, you can take advantage of the monorail. You can get, you can get between all the resorts on the Strip using the monorail. It has a 7-stop loop from SLS to the MGM Grand until 2 a.m. weeknights and 3 a.m. on weekends. And a single ride's $5, and a one-day pass is $12 the last time it was checked. It may have gone up. If you do rent a car, you have to also remember that most of the hotels on the Strip now charge you for parking. Not all of them. Treasure Island doesn't. I think the Wynn and Encore dropped their fees, and the Stratosphere doesn't. But most everyone else does, so you might not want to do that. Although I have found with Fav and I, what we have done, we try to plan any excursions or all excursions that we're going to have or take from the Strip all in one day. You know, we get the car very early in the day, and then we go everywhere we'd plan to go. I know one time, you know, we went to Hoover Dam, then we went to the casinos between Boulder City and Las Vegas, and we went a few other places. So we went to UNLV. You might want to do that, just rent a car for one day. So then you can avoid the parking fees, too. But if you do want to go to, let's say, some of the Lake Mead, or you want to go to the Grand Canyon or any of those other sites, then you may have to rent a car. So that one you're just going to have to decide what you want to do. There's always taxis, and then now they have Lyft and Uber, so there's lots of ways to get around there. We've mentioned in our podcast, and Andrew brings it up too, that all the hotels and casinos in Las Vegas have rewards cards, and you really should take advantage of them. You should have an ID with you and join the clubs, because it can benefit you. You can get, you can start accruing points and benefits for the money that you spend on the properties, from dining to entertainment to gaming. You have the MGM Life Rewards, you have the Station's Casinos My Rewards, Caesars Total Rewards, you have Boyd's Gaming, Be Connected, and they all have then specials for you, so you definitely don't want to miss out on that. You could even get free perks like a room upgrade or club passes during your trip. And you'll also, and I can promise you this, you will get many offers once you return home from any casino that you were at and from any of the ones that are involved with the club that you, the rewards club that you've joined. Okay, I wanted to bring this up. I do like this, what Andrew brought up, and I have never mentioned it, but if you want a little downtime and you book a day pass at one of the many top-notch resorts spas, it's about half the cost of one treatment. You get access to the spa amenities, which could include drinks, steam room, private plunge pool, and some food. Some of the hotel spa access may already be included in the resort fee, but you won't know if you don't ask, so please ask. And most of those hotels do have just exquisite spas. But again, it's one of those things, if you don't ask, you won't know. Okay, some of the best food in Las Vegas is actually off the beaten path. I do agree with him on that. Chinatown especially has an abundance of popular Asian restaurants. None other than the New York Times praised the Lotus of Siam as the best Thai food in the country. If you're going, get there early to avoid lines, Andrew says. Order off the Northern Thai menu, and that's where the house specialties truly are. Also, and something I did not know, Fab did not know, he cites in the article that vegetarians may want to eat at Wynn Las Vegas, where each of the restaurants has a vegan, vegetarian menu. Now, that's interesting, because I really didn't know that.
I'm glad that you're pointing that out, that Andrew said that, but I could care less. That's why. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
I'm being selfish,
I know what you're saying. You don't happen to like a vegetarian diet, but there are a lot of people who do, and I tend to sometimes prefer that.
I got it.
He also says, let's see, it wouldn't be a Vegas trip without a stop or two or three at the legendary buffets. Vegas is famous for those. And we're not talking about just a few dishes here. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, he says that breakfast is a popular time, but you often get the best bang for your buck at the lunch buffets. So, and he feels if you eat a big meal in the middle of the day, you'll be less inclined to want to go to the larger dinners. So they're just, every place has them. So don't hesitate to visit some of them. And you can always call and ask if they are having any specials, if they have a buy one, get one free.
Well, the other thing is, that's where you need your rewards card, because you're going to get a couple dollars off if you have your rewards club card with you. If you don't, you're not going to get it. You and I are big on coupon books. Now, I know he doesn't mention that. I think that's one of the weaknesses
right.
in the article.
Okay, no, he doesn't mention that. But you're right. In fact, if you have a rewards card, you can get $2 to $3 off any buffet just by... You have to ask for it, though. They won't automatically give it to you just because you give them the card. You have to ask for the rewards club discount. And going over these points of Andrew's, I really don't disagree with too many. They're not points really to disagree, you know, agree or disagree with. I think those were the wrong words to use. We've mentioned most of these and talked about most of these ourselves, and we might just go about obtaining the end result a little differently than he might. But one thing he does say, he says, if you're traveling with a group, agree beforehand to charge everything to one room and one card. Then you might get treated like a high roller by aggregating the spending power of your friends. And I don't think that would work out too well. I would not encourage that. I wouldn't do it myself.
Well, I can imagine when you get home, if one of your friends got, you know, free rooms for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you didn't get anything, you're thinking, like, why did I do that? Like, why did I let them use my rewards
right.
card?
Right, and I think, I don't know exactly what Andrew's thinking was, but I do know in a lot of the restaurants, especially the steakhouses, they won't give you individual checks. If 6 or 12 of you go in for dinner, it's going to be on one check, and you have to figure it out. So you either might want to check ahead of time and make sure you can get individual checks, so to avoid that problem. Because I don't know how you could ever possibly divide up all those points or feel comfortable about it.
Yeah, I agree. He didn't explain that well, the problems that could lead to and the disadvantages for certain people.
Well, I'm thinking in some groups that are there in a group, maybe only two of them will ever go back.
Yeah.
You know, they've made the decision, well, I like it here, but I might not come back.
That might be the key. If you know you're not coming back,
yeah,
then you won't care.
If you know you're not, then you might not care that somebody else does that, or you just get along so well you really don't care.
Well, when I went online and read what you told me to read, I was impressed, Janie, that you actually surpass almost everything that's said online because you're so comprehensive. You've been to Vegas so many times, and you know where you're around. So thank you for your insight today. But don't you think Travel Zoo is not a bad place to look?
Oh, I think it's a great place to look, and they have a lot of advice for you, and they tell you, he brought up, they have a special deal from Travel Zoo about the big wheel that, you know, you get to drink for the whole half hour for free, and I know you can get that if you just... Because a friend of mine was just
out there and
bought
that. You can buy that.
Bought that herself. But I don't know what the deal is. But they do have it, and he says many people have taken advantage of it.
Yeah, I think he said too. It's kind of silly. He said, but if you're going to drink, you know, for 30 minutes, that maybe you won't drink the rest of the day. That's probably true too.
That could be. He also mentions that he sees very strong Las Vegas package deals from Flight Center, iTravel 2000, Expedia, TripCentral.ca. So I'm not familiar with every site, but...
Well, it's probably good to check into all those and put one against the other, wouldn't you think?
Right, but I'm sure a lot of listeners are accomplished travelers, so they know all these sites to go to find the best rates that they can get anyway.
Well, Janie, again, we appreciate your input. TravelZoo is TravelZoo.com, and great photos as well as wisdom there, so... I thought Janie had more criticism, but she doesn't. She's thought that was really a nice article that Andrew Young had written. So that's good. Just a few items where she disagrees to some extent. Just got some information off of the Pennsylvania Wire in Harrisburg. The first full month of legal sports betting in Pennsylvania saw gamblers wager over $16 million. And there's three casinos involved. The casinos are, as I mentioned, the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh, the Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse near Hershey, and I've been to that Hollywood several times. It's an attractive Hollywood casino, and of course with Hershey Park, they're going to have a lot of people, you know, coming and going who are strangers to that particular area. And the big one in Philadelphia, the Sugar House Casino in Philadelphia. Now, that $16 million in the first 4 months of gambling, it really, pales in comparison to New Jersey, was also new. And New Jersey can attract the population from the New York City area and suburbs. They took in $319 million worth of bets in December. Wow. Big difference. I don't know if Pennsylvania will catch up, but we're sure to grow. And I think the pleasure of legal sports betting in the state is only going to grow. As I mentioned, it seems to me like every few days, the Rivers in Pittsburgh is doing something to make the sports betting area, the space, more attractive to people who frequent the casino. And I remind our listeners, if you want to comment or question, give us a trip report, talk about sports betting in your area, please feel welcome to call our answering service, our voicemail. That's 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556, and that's a 24/7 number, of course. Also, if you're interested, we have a Facebook presence. Our group is referred to as Casinos USA, written as two words. Feel welcome to give that a try. I think we're just under 400 members now, people who follow us pretty much, you know, every few days. We also have a ton of photographs from our trips on there. You can go to our website to see photographs, and you can also get archive all our podcasts. That's www.casinosusa.bet, and then that address, the web address, Casinos USA, is written as one word. So that's www.casinosusa.bet, B-E-T. You know, we mentioned many, many times our philosophy to living is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Casinos USA is a special place where every day is Saturday. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.